So, good evening, Yellow Dogs. So good to see you tonight. Nice to sit with you. It's just nice to start the week in such a lovely way with such lovely people. So thank you. Tonight, the two sources of my talk tonight is coming from Jack Kornfield, Path with Heart, and Tara Brach, Radical Acceptance. And these were some of the very first books, but they're just, for me, I just rely on them so much. So if you're so inclined, those are two you might want in your library. But in meditation, when we begin observing what is causing our suffering, have you noticed that the mind, and especially it's the Western mind, has a tendency towards unworthiness? We're not very nice to ourselves. When I began meditating, our teachers taught us, I've told you this before, taught us as if we were monks. It was very strict. They had just returned from Asia practicing with a variety of famous teachers. And at the beginning, when I was learning to meditate, it was strict. And I bow to that in the sense that I did it. I'm surprised I did it. But it was strict in the sense that, and you know, our teachers, they're sweethearts. So it wasn't like, you know, a mean public school, a mean teacher, you know. These are lovely, lovely human beings. But they would push us. They would say, be still, don't move, sit up proper position. We would sit and do the walking meditation for 45 minutes each, all day long, day after day. And we got up quite early and would practice through the night. That's where we would be encouraged to do that. And it was the first time that I practice no eye contact, which is something that's honored in retreats today. And what it does is it forces you on yourself. I mean, there's a sense of such isolation. And so that's pretty scary too. And then slow movement. I'm not slow at anything. And to slow down. But they were all, I mean, I don't regret the pain. I mean, they were just most helpful. And this is what we thought was the practice. So we struggled to do it right, and we were striving to become meditators. And our teachers knew, you know, we were great students because you weren't going to let the next person, you know, outdo you, and certainly the whole group. So you carried that competitive mind, you know, right with you. So we were striving to become meditators, and that's what the Western unnoticed mind is conditioned to do. And it makes it difficult and happiness when we follow that conditioning when we're meditating. In the world, it's about striving, strive, strive, push, go, do. And I felt that very much in the early days of my practice, which was a long, long time ago. But I'm not minimizing the difficulty of learning how to meditate. But can you see how that connects with the conditioning of the Western mind? So most of the Asian teachers, of course, probably didn't understand that kind of conditioned mind. So the basic understanding that we are conditioned to strive along with feeling unworthy is in us. And it is a huge hindrance. And lo and behold, the teachers finally realized that. The Dalai Lama story is when a lot of our teachers were, many of you have heard this before, in a big national conference, and the Western teachers asked the Dalai Lama what our students have this unworthiness. You know, what do we do? How can we help and support them? And of course, the Dalai Lama was just amazed. What is this unworthiness? It wasn't in his vocabulary, and it wasn't something that he was conditioned to. So it didn't matter that we had just left these stressful jobs and we were still striving. But striving is unproductive. And so our teachers woke up, thank goodness. And what we were all dealing with, they could see very quickly. And lots of them became psychologists psychologists or therapists. So in 1993, Path with Heart by Jack Kornfield. You think, ooh, that's a long time ago. Does it still hold any validity? Oh my goodness. My. And I can't imagine from where my practice would have gone without that book then and even today. And then there was the radical, in 2003, the Radical Acceptance by Tara Brach. So these were two books that pointed my practice in a different direction. And I highly recommend both of them. Keep them close. They are not outdated in any way. So Jack said this, and Jack had, if you read this book, he has a funny story about how he disrobed as a monk and comes back to the United States, New York City, I think, and meets his sister at a retreat,
spa.
Yeah, so it's really funny. But he found out something that was crucial for supporting this practice. He said, I found that my meditation had helped me very little with my human relationships. I was still emotionally immature, acting out the same painful patterns of blame, fear, and acceptance and rejection that I had even before I started the intensive training. Only the horror now was that I was beginning to see these patterns more clearly. Absolutely, that will happen. I could do loving kindness meditations for 1,000 beings elsewhere, but had terrible trouble relating intimately to one person here and now. So I used the strength of my mind in meditation to suppress painful feelings, and all too often I didn't even recognize that I was angry, that I was sad, that I was grieving, that I was frustrated. In a quote. So, you know, it's really kind of risky for us all without knowing what to do with all this knowledge that's coming up about ourselves. And it's important how we relate to ourselves in this way, because we've been running away from ourselves forever, and facing oneself is the most courageous and the most compassionate thing one can do, not only for oneself, but for the whole planet. So we're clearly recognizing what is happening inside us, and regarding what we see, we're learning to be kind, loving, open to possibilities, forgiving of ourselves when we do it wrong. And so Tara Brach brought us radical acceptance. And she says, we're all capable of learning radical acceptance. And it goes back to understanding the Western mind. So I'm so thankful. I love my Asian teachers, but I'm so thankful for the Western teachers, because they embody what we all embody. And Tara says there are two wings of clear recognition and compassion, presence, are expressions of who we are intrinsically. We have Buddha nature. We are perfectly perfect, just imperfect, just as we are. We're designed this way. But as you well know, you can reflect back, it's quite natural for all of us to get lost in a trance of unworthiness. You learn how to relate to it, but it's still with me anyway. So we get in this loss of unworthiness. We beat ourselves up. We are at war with ourselves. And so it's important that how we relate to this practice has everything to do with whether the benefits are going to show up. So we need the practice, but we need to learn or relearn our preciousness. Learning how to love ourselves. Now, it's not a narcissistic way. We know that. We know narcissism when we see it. We see it every day. But perhaps the biggest tragedy in our life is that freedom is possible. And yet we can pass our years, some of us for many, many years, trapped in the same old patterns. I mean, no wonder old people can be boring if they're the same old, same old. And that's what happens. We create this framework of, oh, I'm old, I have to be old, you know, or I'm young, I can't sit quiet and be still. Being young, there's too much to see. So you can see how we trap ourselves. And we not only are bored with ourselves, but, you know, we become boring. We're predictable. I mean, why is AI even possible? Because it's just behaviors. I mean, you know, all artificial intelligence is going to do is, I've heard it can do more. I just read it today. But, you know, it changes daily. But we're so daggum predictable. Why? Because we're stuck. We're stuck in our patterns of behaviors that is not in our best interest. So we grow accustomed to caging ourselves in this self-judgment and this anxiety with restlessness and dissatisfaction. So what are we doing? Well, we're trying to find our way out of this cage. And it begins, now this is deep wisdom, accepting absolutely everything about ourselves in our lives. And you say, how can that happen? Well, when we get to know each other, know ourselves, and we start loving and caring for ourselves, then we can honor all of it. We can honor the good, the bad, and the ugly. It doesn't mean we like it. We can like or dislike. That's what we do anyway. That's built in our DNA. We're constantly liking and not liking. Nothing's wrong with it. It's natural. But it's what we do when we get stuck in that. When we think that's the only way to live is going after, striving outside of ourselves. And you've heard me say this and others too, that the only peace that we will ever find on this planet is the peace within. That's it. That's why our practicing the peace within, because we are all connected, that's why it spreads to everyone. So pat yourself on the back that you are doing a tremendous job, not only for humanity, but for the environment that we're going through right now. It's scary. We need refuge. And as we practice, we begin to learn how Tara Brach talks about in her acceptance book. We learn how to accept it, everything about ourselves. Now that takes training, that takes practice. So that's what we're doing. And so we are learning to be in the present moment on the cushion and off the cushion. This past week when I went to a retreat in south of Houston, Howie Cohen said, you know, you can be, you can, it's 50% of the time. Now, if we, 50% of the time, we can pay attention. Now you think about, well, where's the other 50% of the time? Well, we're lost in our conditioning. So when he said that, I just kind of had to reflect on it because I had already read, you know, I had already heard from other teachers that kind of along that same, don't set yourself up to think that with practice, you're going to be, something's wrong if you're not in the present moment. The important part of that is waking up that you were asleep. That's it. So it's as crucial to this practice as anything else. And so that's the kind of freedom I'm talking about. You know, understanding that the human nature has laws of nature that we have forgotten. And when we align ourselves with the laws of nature, then we become closer to being 100% human beings. But we're off of it. We're off. We got off the track, which is fine because we're getting on the track. You have to be off the track to get on the track. You see what I mean? So, without trying, every time during the day or when you're sitting, when you notice the judging mind, don't act like you're not, that something's wrong with you, because we all have the judging mind. And the only reason that we're able to look at our judging mind is because we've learned that that's part of being a human being and we don't blame ourselves. But what the meditation does is it enables us not to react to it. See the difference? See the difference? Big difference. Oh, I've got this judging mind. I'm judging right now. Something. No. Oh, hello, judging mind. Hello, insensitivity. Hello, anger. Hello, unworthiness. Fear. Moodiness. All the things that we do as human beings, and we don't know what to do with it. So we beat ourselves up because we hide, not only from ourselves, we hide from everyone else. And that is so true in this society, because you wanna look happy. Even if you're not, you wanna look happy. I mean, come on. So, we've got this persona, and that's good. No one wants to see our sadness all the time or, our anger all the time. But, if we keep stuffing it, then we become less as a human being. We're not honoring it. We didn't ask for anger, but it's there. We didn't ask for any of this. But we were given this gift, a mind and body. And there's a lot to learn about the mind and body. And it's not what you think. And our society has gotten it wrong with just about every issue. So do we hate our government? No. Do we hate each other because we're human? No. We get to know, we open to, we question, what is this all about? We open to not knowing. And what a relief. Because we don't know. We do not know. We think we know, but we don't. So falling into life means acceptance of how things are. Doesn't mean you like it or you don't like it or you love it. It just means there is truth to it because it's there. And the truth needs to be recognized on all levels, allowed, investigate. That's what we're doing. We're getting to know ourselves from inside. And so, that wasn't my lesson. I'll save it for next week. I just got myself off on a tangent. But anyway, as the story goes, and I'm running out of time, whatever it takes to get to know who you are on all levels of existence is important. And Jack Kornfield, as a therapist, had to go to therapy because he had a wild and crazy childhood just like the rest of us. And that has to be addressed. So it can be addressed. So, but don't expect the meditation practice to do it all. So the combination of Western psychology and Buddha psychology and Buddha Dharma takes us. I want to say this, but I don't know if it's completely true. Takes us as far as we can go. That didn't make any sense, but I said it anyway. But anyway, thank you. Thank you for being good listeners tonight. And we're going to open it up to you. And you can ask for clarification or anything you want to. Randy?